Got Your Ears On is brought to you by Tactical Legion Knives. Live from the campus of Top Radio, under the direction of Guido, Scoot, and Johnson, it's the pride of podcasting. It's Got Your Ears On.
All right, everybody, hello and welcome to this week's episode of Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido along with Scoot.
You can put it on the board!
And Johnson.
Labor Day weekend, Guido.
Labor Day weekend, whooping it up, having a good time.
So you know, I did something this weekend.
What'd you do this weekend?
A haircut.
I bought some new wheels for my lawnmower.
I thought you were going to say for your car, for your lawnmower?
I hung it out there for a second to draw you in.
You got some white walls for the lawnmower?
It felt like a very Labor Day weekend thing to do.
This is serious. Like you've swapped out the wheels for your lawnmower.
Yeah.
This is not something that normal people do.
No, the other wheels are worn out.
What?
The other wheels are...
Who wears out wheels on a lawnmower?
I mean, we can go into detail, but...
Like, what do you mean wear them out?
The wheels are, like, bald.
What?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Are you running while you mow?
I'm getting some mowing
done. How could you generate that much friction to...
But let me tell you, the reason I brought that up is I had to go find my lawnmower, like... Who orders parts for their lawnmower, right? I mean, that's how I know I'm getting old, because I'm actually trying to figure out how to order parts for a lawnmower. So, like, find the user manual and, like, okay, well, what is the parts and crap like that. And I came across, like, so I found the manual, and in the back of the manual, you know, I'm, like, scrolling through the PDF. There's a notes page. And I just stopped and I thought, well, first of all, who has this manual after, like, 16th minute after opening your lawnmower, right?
Exactly. It's in the
trash. And then who's like, I gotta make a note of that.
I gotta write notes down.
Thank God there's a notes page here. I gotta make a note of that.
Well, while I understand the wheels on your lawnmower are important, Johnson, and they are. What's more important is this is a football week. We're playing football this weekend.
Yeah, and football was played.
And football has been played.
Yeah. Like it's actual real life football.
D1 actual interesting to watch, or at least somewhat interesting to watch football. Marshall played our opponent coming up this week.
Yeah, we got to do some reconnaissance.
We did get to do some reconnaissance. Interestingly enough, couple things surprised me about the Eastern Kentucky Marshall game, just right off the bat to talk about. One is Eastern Kentucky, not too worried about them. Just going to go out and say that. Marshall
didn't look very good.
Marshall smoked them. Two is Marshall allowed fans in the stands, and it just seemed like a regular Marshall game. It wasn't anything like, it was like, oh, it's like their normal fans were in the stands.
Well, because there were only about 12,000 of them?
Only about 12,000 of them, yeah.
Well, but were you surprised? I mean, I think we talked about this a little bit the other day. They had like limited to groups of six, I think.
Yeah, it was 12,000 fans. And it was groups of six together, and then they were separated by I don't know how many ever seat. I thought it was interesting just for the fact that WVU made the decision not to have fans, but yet Marshall's having fans.
Well, yeah. I don't know if it has anything to do with like Morgantown right now is a little bit of a hot spot.
A hot zone, if you will.
A hot mess. So I'm wondering if that has a factor, whereas Huntington – doesn't have the number of cases that Morgantown has.
Right. Probably definitely a factor in that, you know. I will say, though, so they had 12,000 fans in the stands. They did not pipe any crowd noise in. At least it didn't sound like they did. So it was kind of interesting to watch that game on ESPN.
Well, the other thing that I thought was interesting, Guido, just really quick, I'm always – Scoot's probably going to roll his eyes, but – I always kind of take note of West Virginia guys on these rosters, and I thought it was really interesting that Grant Wells, freshman QB for Marshall, he went to GW. He's from Charleston, and he had a really good game. I mean, now, I guess, you know, now, not to take anything away from him, he passed for over 300 yards. I think he had four touchdowns. They didn't have any trouble with Eastern Kentucky, but I couldn't tell if that was an illustration of just how bad Eastern Kentucky was or if he was really having a good game. But either way, I like to see that. I always think that's cool when we see guys repping the state and starting for programs, and he had a great day. He had a great debut.
If I were one to say if Marshall is a good or bad team and I judged it by that one game, I would say Marshall looked really good. I just think that Eastern Kentucky is just, you know, not that good is more of the issue. But so that's who we get to see this week. It was kind of cool to watch, be able to watch that game. Eastern Kentucky, I don't know if they're just staying in West Virginia the whole time. I know Eastern Kentucky's not that far from where they're playing. But back in West Virginia this week against us in Morgantown on Saturday at noon. If you're going to watch the game, it's on Fox Sports 1. So definitely remember to check that out. Guys, so really the thing that came out of watching Eastern Kentucky is they have one good, really good player, which is Kenyon Dixon.
Oh, I love it when you say names.
I know. This last week was a train wreck. He's from your home state. He's a Connecticut boy.
Yeah,
from
he's a UConn transfer.
Very athletic people come out of Connecticut, so it doesn't surprise me.
He's kind of a high target on the wide receiver side. But other than that, I didn't really see a lot coming out of that Eastern Kentucky team.
I think it's Marshall's colors and or uniforms that really make me dislike them.
Oh, really? That's what it is.
Well, it's they look like it's amateur hour with these uniforms. Okay. Like, come on. Like, that's not a... I mean, nobody gets excited about these things. And this Kelly green. Come on.
Better or worse than purple?
Ugh.
In your eyes.
I mean...
In your eyes, better or worse than purple?
I suppose better, but... Because then there's nothing worse than purple.
Just because of your just crazy disdain for purple.
Yes. Yes. Purple does not look tough. Purple looks like a bunch of grapes.
It's hard to be intimidating in purple, yes.
Yes.
Right.
Green you can be, I guess. But
one
I just...
would argue also when you are named frogs. But I digress. So speaking of QBs, though, Guido, speaking of QBs... we had a QB named.
We did.
This week as well.
We did. So Jared Daigie is now officially the starting quarterback for WVU. Scoot, does that make you feel better now that we've named somebody?
Because, Scoot, you had a huge problem last week.
Yes, because now he's got that, 8 days to work with the number ones. So I'm real thrilled about that. And you know how that is the week of a game. You practice like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday's like a, I don't know, sit around and watch some film day. Thursdays, eat a bunch of food, and then Friday, nothing, and then game on Saturday.
Thursdays, eat a bunch of food. I feel like if I look at the rundown on Coach Brown's
that's his
like,
itinerary.
If he's got it written down, yeah, like I won't see a bullet for, all right, guys, it's eat a bunch of food day. So go nuts.
But it also, it kind of was interesting that it coincided, the announcement of him being the starting quarterback coincided with him also being put on a couple of watch lists for preseason awards.
Wouldn't have that been something? He gets put on these watch lists and he's the backup.
I know, right?
What are we watching him do? He's holding that clipboard.
And even at that, I was kind of surprised that he was put on some award watch lists just to begin with. But yeah, you're right, Scoot. Like, there's no way at that point, once he's on some of these watch lists.
He wore the red and green wristbands really well this week.
Right. So that was kind of an interesting, I don't know how that came about, but that was kind of interesting that that happened right at the same time that he was put on that list. So
do you think there's a conspiracy behind this? Do you think like Street and Sport and, you know, Athlon say, hey, listen, we really like to have some influence on putting some people out there. Can you please name him the starter so that it doesn't look stupid for us?
Well, first of all, it's Street and Smith's. I don't think that they would like go off of prodding from the East Region correspondent of that.
I mean,
fine,
I don't
magazine.
Know. Maybe money talks.
Maybe. I think it is more to do with that Jared Daigie was probably the starting quarterback from day one.
Are we stringing Austin along?
An opportunity to string Austin Kendall along a little bit. Yeah, maybe. And two, I think it was an opportunity for the media not to get wrapped up in you know, anything other than a quarterback battle going on with the program. So let's pivot back real quick to the EKU game here. Marshall played them this past weekend. Marshall beat them 59-0.
59-0.
And really didn't let off the pedal until the fourth quarter. Like, Marshall really kept it throttled all the way through the third. And my question to you guys is this. We should be a better defensive team than Marshall. We should be a better offensive team than Marshall. Do we beat them more than 59-0?
No, I mean, I'll go first. No, I don't think so. And I don't think that should be some kind of value judgment on, because that, I think that's what people will now want to do. Oh, well, Marshall beat them 59-0. I don't really think, to me, I can see Coach Brown using this as a game to still, like, be tweaking things, run in different personnel on and on. You know, you get into the third quarter, you've got a 3-4 touchdown lead, whatever. I can see Coach Brown running different personnel in and out just to keep feeling stuff out and seeing if he's got people in the right places that he wants. That's my opinion. I can see him using it as, like, a, you know, maybe some trial and error instead of trying to impress with starters or something.
I don't know. I think defensively we're better. I mean, East Carolina is not going to score, or East Carolina, East Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky is not going to score negative points somehow. So, yeah, it's very possible that it'll remain at zero. The offense, I don't know. I think personally we'll probably get too cute, and maybe we start running all these different combinations of guys out there. I don't know. It's possible we could score more than 59 points. I'm going to guess we don't. I also feel that this is the kind of game that you don't necessarily want to play before you start conference play. Yes, you want to win, but I don't know that this really prepares, because you're going to see probably the starters for the first half, maybe the beginning of the second half, and then it's probably going to be backup players.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I hope that's what happens, but I can just see if you get into the third quarter and you're blowing them out, I don't see any reason to, like, lean on your starters and continue to wing the ball around. You know, knowing us with the feeling out, I don't know a better way to say it, but of our running backs and offensive line and everything, I can see us still trying to figure out stuff like that. So it wouldn't surprise me if we don't go for some huge score.
Are you okay if this ends and the final score is something like 42-14?
Yeah.
Are you okay after seeing Marshall, you know, stack them with 59 and then not let them have anything?
Oh, yeah, sure. No, I'm totally fine with that. Why? That would bother you.
I'm just saying, I'm not trying to compare. Like, I don't, you know, we've talked about this before on the show. Like, I don't really care about Marshall. And I'm not trying to compare us to, but I'm looking at a team like Marshall, which we should be better than, you know, automatically just through, you know, level of play. I would be a little concerned if Marshall looked better against EKU than we did.
And if it's 27-14, yeah.
Yeah. And I assume EKU is going to be better this week. They're going to turn, they've got that extra week on us that we don't have. That's definitely one advantage they have to all of this. But so I don't expect us necessarily to put 59-0 on them. I'm just saying, it maybe we let 7. I think 14 I'd swallow. But if, you know, if we let more than that get on the board, I'm a little worried.
Here's an interesting thing. Let's say we do shut them out.
Okay.
Has there ever been a team that has gone to the midway point of their season and not scored a point?
That's a good question.
Because Eastern Kentucky will have gone to the midway point of their season, because right? They only got 4 games and may have not scored a point.
That's,
hurry up, guys. We got 8 quarters left.
8 quarters left. We're going to get something.
Could you imagine if they got shut out 4 games in a row?
Oh, that's a bad. I'd feel sorry for them.
Because who do they play? I wonder who they play. Do you know who they play after us?
I do.
It's
got
to be non-conference.
Right. I don't know. That's not looking. That might be a little rough on them to have.
What
to
does concern me is on the offensive side for WVU. I was looking at the returning stat leaders.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Letty Brown had, I think, like 367 yards rushing.
Okay.
Close to 400 yards. Not too scary if you're an opponent, right? Like, oh, okay, this guy played the whole season. He only had 367 yards. Okay. Austin Kendall was second in rushing with like 81 yards.
Okay, I see where you're going here.
Johnson, you and I one time were in a race, and I think you actually had more yards than Alex Sinkfeld had in his whole season last year. in a 40-yard dash.
But we went over this, right? We know we had some huge challenges on the offensive line. So that doesn't shock me because we – you know, we weren't successful running the ball, whoever we were handing it to. So I'm not shocked. And I'm hoping that we know Letty Brown, we know Sinkfield, we know these guys are capable. They just need some room to work. And hopefully the improvements we've heard about in this offensive line come to
fruition. I'm just saying, Coach Brown, listen, if you're in a pinch, I know a guy. I know two guys that can fill the void. One is more realistic than the other. Play Mark Rucker. And two, I got a guy here, Mr. Johnson, an alum who's still got some eligibility.
I mean, I do have all my eligibility.
He could be a grad transfer. He can come back. Could you be a grad transfer? Come back as a grad transfer? He's got another year.
Me, I guess, right? Technically.
I don't think he's got the legs for it, though. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that. You got to remember, though, guys, last year, Kennedy McCoy was on the team, and he had
the most
rushing yards.
Slight detail that we're missing.
But that was still only 391 total rushing yards for the year. So it was a little bit – the running game last year, I will say, was a little –
You remind me of a I guess, an older – I guess can't be a younger – an older Tom Rathman. Kind of like a beefy fullback.
Very successful fullback.
Yeah.
But maybe, don't you think – with I would maybe counter too that if we get on the field these first couple games and Daigie's having success throwing the ball, that should also help these guys out too. If defenses have a reason to drop back into some coverage, which you know, there's no reason to go down that road again on yet another one of our podcasts, but we know we struggled with the long ball, the deep ball, spreading and stretching the defense last year. I wouldn't be surprised if that really is a help to our running back.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see it across the board. I mean, I think the offensive line is going to be better this year. I think the offense in general is going to be better. You know, we've got Gerard Parquet.
Right, yes.
Who is changing up schemes a little bit on us, and I think everything will start to fit together.
Scoot the Air France Raid.
That's right, the Air France.
Air France Raid. So let's talk about it, guys. So EKU, I think it's definitely one of those, for lack of a better term, preseason practice type kind of games for us. It should be a win. There's no reason it should not be a win. But let's talk about the rest of the season. So it's our only non-conference game. After that, we jump into on September 26th against Oklahoma State, and boom, we hit the ground running with Big 12 games. So the question I have, and what we do every season before we start, is we talk about what does the season look like? How many wins? How many losses? We only play 10 games this year, 9 of which are conference, 1 of which is a non-conference games. Where do you guys stand? Right now, we have in, you know, preseason rankings from the AP, we only have 4 Big 12 teams listed in the top 25. Now, keep in mind, there are teams right now that are listed in the top 25 that are going to play no games, like Oregon, like Ohio State right now are not scheduled to play games. Ohio State ranks 2nd right now in the preseason, but they're not going to play. But right now, you've got Oklahoma is 5th in a lot of polls. You're seeing Oklahoma State is 15th. You're seeing Iowa State being ranked as well. Texas is ranked 14th. Iowa State in the 20s in a couple of different polls. So 4 of those teams are ranked. But looking at this year's schedule, guys, you know, where do you see us this year? What do you see our final win-loss total at? I'll let you go first, Scoot.
I am going to say, so last year I was high on hopes. I had a lot of high hopes. Yeah. I was the glass half full
8
guy.
Wins. You were like, you thought we were going to have 8
glass
wins.
Glass half full. You guy. Were like the glass 9/11 full, I
okay,
think.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm looking at a 4-6 record.
Okay.
4 wins. Okay.
All right.
That's interesting. So what are the 4 wins?
Eastern Kentucky.
Yep. Okay.
Kansas.
Okay.
Kansas State and TCU.
4.
Those are the 4 wins.
4 wins. Okay. All right. Johnson, I'll let you go next.
Yeah, my first, like my gut reaction is to go exactly opposite of Scoot. And I'll tell you why, because when I look at this schedule, and I think it's actually kind of unfortunate, but to me, there's 2 seasons here. Yeah. There's the season that runs through the end of October, so through Halloween. And then there's the season for the month of November. in that first week of December. So to me, this schedule is so backloaded. Because if you remember the end of last year, Jarrett Daigie comes in, Guido. We rattle off two of three wins. We beat TCU at TCU. And we almost pulled off a win against Oklahoma State at home. So these games, so let's just, like, Scoot kind of already went through there, but EKU, Oklahoma State, Baylor, Kansas, Texas Tech, Kansas State, that's who you play pre-November.
Pre-Halloween.
November now, you go Texas, you're at Texas, TCU, Oklahoma, and Iowa State, who, even though they're ranked, I think is really being undervalued right now. I think Iowa State really has a good team, and you have to go to Iowa State. So I almost feel like these first six games are the winnable games on the schedule, and the last four games are the ones that are a super big challenge on the schedule. So I don't know that it's going to go half and half like that, but I see six winnable games, and I see four games that I think we're going to have.
And I'm right there. That was my breakdown as well. My breakdown as well was that you're going to see West Virginia possibly go 5-1, I think, in that first set of games. I think they lose to Oklahoma State in Stillwater.
That's the one in my mind that could be the biggest trip up. I mean, now look, all the Baylor, you know, these would all be good wins. These are all good teams. Like, don't get me wrong. But if I'm like, which one do I think is a definite push? I'd look at Oklahoma State in that first half.
Yeah, so, you know, I think Oklahoma State's going to be a tough one on the road, the first travel game. Baylor at home. Baylor's got a new head coach, so that's all, you know, that's good on our end. Les Miles still isn't turning things around against Kansas.
And Guido, don't you think, too, I mean, you've got Baylor and Kansas State all at home as well.
Right.
So even though you don't have fans in the stands, I like being home for those games.
Yeah, I like you don't have to deal with the travel. You don't have to deal with whatever craziness goes with it. I think we can take Texas Tech, towards the end of October there, and K-State at home. Then we, like you said, then we get into November, and I'm not sure we can win any of those last four games. I'm excited, even though, by the way, the West Virginia this week put out their program, the digital program this week. And they put the Oklahoma game as an away game. But correct me if I'm wrong, that game is in Morgantown. Right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know why it says at Oklahoma, but...
yes, because last year we had the Sooner crash.
Right, exactly. Last year was the...
Scoot. Holy cow, that was terrible.
It was crazy.
But those last four games, I think Texas is going to be good. I think we could beat TCU, but I don't think TCU is going to be bad. And then I think... You know, Oklahoma's going to be a tough win no matter when you play them and where. I hope there's fans in the stands by that point. It would be wonderful and helpful for us in Morgantown.
That is a wild card, isn't it? That actually changes the conversation a bit if you can get some fans in the stands late in the season.
And that's also, I'm pretty sure that game is the Friday after Thanksgiving.
I think you're right.
That Oklahoma game's Friday at like 4:00 after Thanksgiving. And then you play December 5th, you play Iowa State at Iowa.
Which it will be like playing in like tundra conditions probably, right? I mean, that's going to be a rough go.
So right now I'm going to say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to say I see 5-5.
Okay.
5 wins, okay. 5 losses, 500 on the board.
Look at me being the optimistic person out of the group, Scoot.
I'm not sure you can take any of those games in November.
I think 4-6 and that's a lock.
Wow. So this completely opposite of last year, guys. Like,
yeah.
Total flip.
Guido last year, and I were very like, oh, I don't know about this. And you were like Orange Bowl or something.
I just think for me, I feel like we're playing with, at the quarterback spot, I feel like we're playing with used parts. Like we went out and got maybe a late 90s Buick Regal.
And see, I think you're... I gotta say, I completely disagree with you, Scoot, because I think that you're not giving Jarrett Daigie a chance.
A late 90s Buick Regal.
He's no Buick Regal.
He's only a sophomore, for Pete's
sake. He's not the Plymouth Sundance of of college football.
He is a Chrysler Spitfire or whatever that thing was. It's Chrysler, a Dodge Spirit.
Oh, I don't like this at all.
I tell you, man, I disagree.
I think we gotta go with a young buck, somebody that.
How do you say that? You watch those last three games. He looked great in those last three games.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, well, what are we comparing him to?
Austin Kendall, who...
Exactly,
well,
which...
but the team seemed to have a lot more energy. I mean, come on. At the end of last season,
listen,
we...
Austin Kendall could be a good kid. He seems like a very nice boy, but...
boy.
He boy. Throws the ball like I would with my left hand. Like, that sucker floats. So anybody that doesn't float one is going to look like...
I hope Austin Kendall listens to this show just for the fact I want him to challenge you at throwing a football.
I don't want to see
that happen.
You don't want this smoke?
Right.
Boom.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I hope Jared Diggie lights up the scoreboard.
I hope he does too, but I don't have a good feel for it. They let me down last year. I took one on the chin. I was there, you know, praising them, screaming their name from the mountaintop.
Can I be honest about when you look at quarterback transfers, like you look at a guy like Austin Kendall who transfers from a program like Oklahoma to West Virginia after being the backup for Jalen Hurts and, you know, and playing in this big program. And then you look at a guy like Jared Diggie who came from Bowling Green. Is that correct? He was at Bowling Green. And I think there's more. I think when you see a kid transfer from a school like Bowling Green into WVU and take over that quarterback role, I think there's more of a fight and there's more energy in it for him to begin with. Austin Kendall came from a program that was already touted and very high end.
So you think it was like in his mind almost a step down?
Well, probably in his mind, yeah.
Yeah, in some ways it was. Let's be honest. Oklahoma is a perennial top 10 team and, you know, where WVU is not.
But you can look at Will Grier.
True.
Will Grier went from Florida, and he made the most of the opportunity. Like, but he also had extenuating circumstances. It wasn't just a straight up transfer. It was kind of a, I've got to prove myself that, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
But speaking of the program, real quick,
you're talking about the digital program.
Yes, I was thumbing through the digital program, and I came across a page. Something that might have struck you as odd,
okay,
being the big pepperoni roll guy that you are.
Yeah,
I noticed that your Country Club Bakery, Guido, was not mentioned as the official pepperoni roll of the Mountaineers.
Guido, they went with Julia's.
Chico's Bakery.
I'm just saying, you know, if you've got them big dollars and you flash them around like Chico's Bakery
does. If I am being a judge, which I like to be a judge, of food, looking at this photo of Chico's Bakery and home of Julia's pepperoni rolls.
Yeah.
Who Julia is, not really sure. Is that Chico's mom?
Maybe.
Anyway, these pepperoni rolls look tasty.
Yeah, they are. They're the ones that Guido and I got in the Coliseum when we were there last
fall. Yes, yes. I'm looking at the same. It's on page 17 of your digital program.
Right.
I'm looking at the same picture, Scoot.
If you're following along in your digital guide.
Scoot, I have a question for you.
Yes.
If you're going to eat yourself a nice, tasty Chico's Bakery Julia's pepperoni roll, are you going to slice a tomato to go with it?
No, and I'm not slicing my pepperoni roll in half either, they have here. However, what I do see is slices of pepperoni, which I prefer. I don't want your pylons of pepperoni. And I noticed some cheese, which is what everyone wants in their pepperoni roll.
Yes.
Whereas, maybe Country Club?
At the Chick-fil-A tailgate last year, columns of pepperoni.
Your friends at Country Club are like, I don't know, they've got some sort of aversion to cheese.
Listen, they don't. So listen, here's the difference. The Chico's, all right, I'm going to say it.
Here we
Chico's
go.
Chico's pepperoni rolls.
You've triggered Guido.
Here you ready? You got me mad because I'm a Country Club Bakery purist. They are the original. They are the best. Here's the difference.
They got no Julia.
A Country Club Bakery.
Let the man talk, Scoot.
Chico's here is the lazy man's pepperoni roll. And you want to know why? Here's why. The correct way to eat a pepperoni roll is you slice it, you put a piece of provolone cheese in it, all right, a little bit of provolone, and you put some Oliverios, either sweet or the hot. It's up to you if you like the hot pepper or the sweet pepper.
Okay.
Oliverios peppers in it, all right? You look at Chico's here. Chico's, like, they've got three great varieties is what they say. They've got the double stuffed pepperoni.
Right.
They've got the pepperoni with cheese.
Which is what Scoot would go with.
And then they've got the pepperoni with hot pepper cheese.
Okay.
So here's my problem, Scoot. That's all lazy man stuff. You got to do the work on your own.
Listen.
That's what a pepperoni roll's about. It's about the coal miners working.
No, it's working, man.
It's blue listen, collar working man's food.
Let's go back to that, right? You think the working man, the coal miner who's got all the coal.
That's exactly what they did.
Soot on his hands. He's going to cut it up, and then he's going to put some sort of like.
That's exactly what they did.
Some relish or some
back
jazz.
Back in the 1920s, it's 100% what
he's going to bring out the toaster. He's going to bring out the toaster oven, put his provolone on a sliced pepperoni roll, and then stick it in there. And
that's
then
exactly
lay
what
down
they did.
Some what salsa or something on it. No, that's ridiculous.
Salsa.
You want
Listen,
a pepperoni roll?
Go back to New York's frying pan hat. You don't know nothing about pepperoni rolls.
I love this fight.
Fresh out of the bag. You're eating a pepperoni roll fresh out the bag.
I love this fight.
I don't want to hear it.
Well,
you know,
the next time we do a Got Your Ears On weekend game, do you think so? Cousin Frank and Uncle Mark will have to bring some of the
fixins
stuff that you're taught. Yeah,
fixins.
The fixins.
Who puts
if you
fixins
will.
On a pepperoni roll? You're supposed to eat it straight out the
because
bag.
That's how it's done.
Because I'm interested. I want to do this Guido's
way. We'll definitely do it right.
Have a taste test.
Make sure when you're in the coal mine, you got your toaster with you, just in case, so you can heat that provolone.
Lazy man.
What do they do? Stick it in their armpit? How'd they
heat
that provolone?
Pepperoni roll.
How'd they melt it?
Well, these are good. Guido and I had these.
Chico's is good. Chico's is.
Hey, Giuseppe, you got the pepperoni roll ready, huh? Hang 4 more minutes in my armpit. Hang on.
Listen, any pepperoni roll is good. Any pepperoni roll.
I don't
Giuseppe,
know what's
hurry
grosser,
up with the pepperoni roll.
This
it's
impression,
in my armpit, huh?
Or the fact that we'd be putting pepperoni rolls in armpits.
Hey, so let's just get to talk about football again, like, you know, sports, like what this podcast is supposed to be about, you chooch.
Right, yes. Back to. Yes.
Going back to the program, I don't know if you noticed, but the Stills brothers, by the way, are got lists and lists of awards and
yes.
preseason things that they're up for, including they're both up for the same defensive line award in NCAA. So that's interesting that they're both on a watch list for the same award. That'd be kind of interesting to see them get down to the end there.
Yeah, talk about competition.
With the same competition. But Darius, by the way, just he's on the Bednarik Watch Award. He's on the Reese's Senior Bowl, which our good friend Rex Unahara played in last year. So there's a lot of award and hype around Darius this year. But good to see Dante get some stuff as well. Guys, so EKU this week, I wanted to talk about season opener games. And this is probably, I mean, granted, this wasn't supposed to be the season opener we were supposed to have. We were supposed to play Florida State, which was going to be a tough game to play.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But if everything goes normal again, this is the last sort of like
FCS.
This is the last 1AA team that we play for a while. After this, like the next 8 years are going to be awesome for season opener games, Johnson.
Guido, I see. Trapezoid of evil over
yes.
the next 4 years.
It's awesome. It's awesome when you are looking at the next 4 years. We start the season with Maryland. We start the season with Pitt in 2022. 2023 and 2024, back-to-back, Penn State home and away.
I'm in heaven.
It's going to be awesome.
It's wonderful.
It's going to be phenomenal. So it'll be a good time.
Trapezoid of evil. To start the season.
Other things we wanted to mention before we take a break, congratulations to all of the 2020 Hall of Fame, West Virginia University Hall of Fame announcees. Now, they did say that they're going to induct all of these Hall of Fame recipients in 2021.
So it'll be a big class next year.
It'll be a big class next year. But a couple people that just jump out to me, Johnson, Ron Wolfley.
Yeah,
congratulations.
That's a name that just jumps right out. So that's a name that jumps out to the little kid in me. You know, if you grew up watching WVU, some of those classic 80s teams, then you knew Ron Wolfley for sure.
Yeah, Jed Jerko, congratulations
yeah.
to him
yep.
playing baseball. That's right. And probably the biggest name to us, WVU basketball great Deshaun Butler.
Yeah, Deshaun.
So great for him and all the guys over there at the Final Four cast.
I wanted to ask Scoot this too. Get your all's opinion here. But so Josh Witt, our friend over on Unreasonable Doubt, he put out a tweet that said, hey guys, now do the right thing and retire Deshaun's number. And I thought, that's interesting. You know, I hadn't thought about that, but if anyone is deserving, you'd be hard pressed to find someone other than Deshaun to make that argument for, I think.
You know, and it's hard, and we've talked about it before, about how WVU is in retiring numbers.
Yeah, you
numbers.
Know how selective they are
yeah.
with that.
Yeah, and I think my problem is that they want to only retire numbers of people who have played professionally at the highest level sometimes. I mean, granted, you've got Jerry West and Ron Thorne, who both wore the same number, by the way.
I don't want to go down that road again.
I know. We don't want to get down that path. But who had NBA careers, Hot Rod Hundley, same thing. Unfortunately, Deshaun didn't get that option. You know, his senior year, Final Four, gets that horrific injury, and then just kind of, I mean, I know he's had a great professional career outside of the NBA since then, but it kind of stinks that I don't know if I believe WVU would ever look at that, considering that he didn't play in the NBA.
When I think of Deshaun, I think of Country Roads in Madison Square Garden, and I think right. of the Final Four team, and I think of him scoring yep. 48. You know, there's so many things about Deshaun. I think you could make that argument. So when I saw Josh's tweet, I was like, yeah, that's interesting. I wonder, because to me, and we can move on, Guido, but it's kind of like when people talk about retiring Pat White's number, and people are quick to say, like you did, and you're right, professional careers and things like that. You know, Pat, of course, you know, he, you know, went to the Dolphins, didn't have longevity there, moved on. We would never think less of Pat, though. You know, I think you could make the same argument of retiring Pat's number, that kind of thing.
I don't necessarily think it's a fans thing. I think it's more of the university and their sort of a
well, neither of them are going to get their number retired, so it's probably a moot point.
I'm with you on that. It's good. So the other one last thing, then we'll take a break, come back. Did anybody else see the tweet of Oscar jumping from the fountain?
Oh, yeah, that was amazing.
He was close. He said he was a foot inside. He said he'll get it next time, or said he will get it before too long.
Yeah, it was pretty close.
Regardless, I was excited. That was amazing.
A couple summers ago, some might argue that Oscar must have seen some surveillance camera and maybe was imitating me.
I think Big O had a little more float than you, Scoot. That's all I'm gonna say. But
my dunks are a little bit more thunderous than his.
Oh, okay.
That's the difference.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with everybody's favorite game show on a podcast about West Virginia University sports. It's a little game we like to call Bluff the Fluffs. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Got Your Ears On. Vortec Knives is a West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in high-quality steel, fast-opening, everyday carrying knives. If you go to VortecKnives.com today and use the code GYEO, you get a 25% discount on your entire order. That's Vortec, V-O-R-T-E-K, Knives.com, a West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in fast-opening, high-quality, everyday carry knives. Vortec Knives.
This is Darius Stillers. You're listening to You Got Your Ears On.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido along with Scoot and Johnson. Don't forget, check us out on the social media. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Got Your Ears. You can also look for us on Facebook. Just search Got Your Ears On. Guys, it's time for Bluff the Fluffs, everybody's favorite game show on a West Virginia University sports podcast. And Johnson won last week when we talked about WVU quarterbacks and now has a lead of 8-5 over Scoot. Scooty, you got to do some work and try to come back.
Scoot, I am up 8-5.
I thought you had it last week, Scoot.
This game is scripted, for one.
This game is not scripted. This is the only, you say it's scripted every week just so you feel like you don't look as bad.
There's
nothing scripted about this. You guys have no clue what tonight's tonight's questions are about.
This is like the WWE of podcast game shows.
False.
False. 100% false.
Other than me coming at you off the top rope with these answers, it is nothing like that.
I love it. All right, so this week's questions are about WVU once again. And this week we're doing questions about West Virginia University season opener game history, guys.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's about the season opener games in the history of them. All right. Are we ready?
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully none of them are about Geno Smith, because I demonstrated last week that every time I think the answer is Geno Smith, it is not, in fact, Geno Smith.
Well, there are no questions specifically about Geno Smith this week. All right. So as always, before the game, guys, we just want to remind you that a correct answer is worth 5 points. A steal is worth 10 points. And the final bluff is worth 25 points. We flip a coin totally random before each game to see who gets to go first. And this week, Johnson, you came out on top. Oh, you get to go first.
Boom.
Not again.
All right, Johnson. So this first question is to you. Don Nealon is the winningest coach in West Virginia history with 149 wins in his 21 seasons.
Okay.
His first game as head coach was in 1980, which was a win against which of these teams. Was it Pitt, Georgia, Cincinnati, or Maryland?
Guido, John Denver sang at halftime of the win against Cincinnati.
That is correct. Cincinnati was his first win for 5 points in 1980 in the new Mountaineer Field and everything. It was a fancy day for them. Fancy day. All right, Scooty, so you're down 5 points to nothing, and Johnson has the lead, so this question is to you, Scoot. Which of these teams has West Virginia played the most season opener games against? All right?
Yeah.
The most games. All right? Home or away, doesn't matter. Which of the most games? Is it Pitt, Maryland, West Virginia Wesleyan College, or Richmond?
Hmm. Well, I don't think it's Wesleyan. So I'm going to go with Maryland.
All right, Scoot, you're incorrect there. Johnson, the steal to you. Is it Pitt, WVWC, or Richmond?
It hasn't happened in a long time, but I think the answer is Richmond.
That's also incorrect. The most season opener games have been played against West Virginia Wesleyan College.
Oh, wow.
Really?
They did. They those old Greasy Neal days, played for like 10 consecutive years in the 1920s as their season opener against the Bobcats. So nobody gets a point there. Scoot, remind me again, where did you go to undergrad?
Well, it was, I started at Castleton State University in Vermont.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay.
And then I transferred to West Virginia Wesleyan College.
Where you ultimately graduated.
Yes, you could say that, yes.
Okay, wanted to make sure on that one. Yeah. Okay, so, you know, not throwing any softballs.
No, at C.B. Ross Field, you think that some wins came at C.B. Ross?
Maybe a couple of those wins. I think Wesleyan actually has won like three games, and they've played them like 23 times, so interesting. All right, Johnson, you still have the lead 5-0 over Scooty. This question goes back to you.
All right.
In 2001, West Virginia University got a new head coach for the first time in 21 years in Rich Rodriguez. Rich Rod played his first game against this and lost it. He played his first game against this Big East foe. Was it Virginia Tech, Boston College, Miami, or Syracuse?
Huh. I honestly do not remember this. I'm trying hard to remember this. I distinctly remember, I feel like I remember Virginia Tech happening later in the season. I'm going to go with Boston College.
That's correct. Rich Rod in 2001 lost his first game as WVU's head coach against Boston College. Johnson continues to lead 10-0. And Scoot, we're back to you. West Virginia lost to an SEC team last season, Missouri, right? Remember that? But the last time that they beat an SEC team was in a season opener. Which SEC team did they beat in a season opener? Was it Mississippi State, Kentucky, Tennessee, or Texas A&M?
Hmm. That's a tricky one. I'm going to go with Tennessee.
That's correct. WVU beat Tennessee in the season opener in 2018.
And Letty Brown had a really good game that game, Scoot. So I think there's opportunity here in this running back rotation. You just have to be patient, I think.
Patience, Scoot. Patience. All right, Johnson, question is to you. You still have the lead 10-5 over Scoot. And here we go. Which of these modern day, so we're not back in the greasy Neil 1920s.
Okay, all right.
Modern day, so 1960 up. Which of these modern day coaches, not counting Neil Brown, is the only WVU head coach to go undefeated in season opener games? Was it Dana Holgorsen, Frank Cignetti, Bill Stewart, or Bobby Bowden?
Opening day games. Well, I'm really not sure about this one, but I'm going to go with Coach Stewart.
That's correct. Coach Stu was the only one. Bobby Bowden lost one game in all of his years coaching at WVU in season openers. Frank Cignetti lost one as well. Daniel Holgorsen lost like three. Bill Stewart went as undefeated. Johnson, 15-5 right now over Scoot. Scoot, last question is to you before final bluffs. You can close this gap a little bit. It's become practice for WVU to play their season opener at home against a team like EKU or JMU or at a neutral site like Alabama or Tennessee a couple of years ago. But when was the last time WVU had a true away game against an opponent in their home stadium for a season opener? Was it 2010 against Marshall, 2001 against Boston College, 2005 against Syracuse, or 1996 against Pitt?
I am going to say, who was the 2001?
Boston College. That was Rich Rubbs.
I'm going to say 2001 Boston College.
That's incorrect. Johnson, to you, was it 2005 against Syracuse, 2010 against Marshall, or 1996 against Pitt?
Well, that'd be 2010 Marshall, I think, Guido.
That's incorrect. That 2010 Marshall game was the second game of the season. I think they played Coastal Carolina first, if I'm not mistaken. It was 2005 against Syracuse. We played the season opener at the old Carrier Dome, where it's never cool. It's always warm. And it's named after somebody who created air conditioners.
Right.
Against Syracuse in 2005. Yeah,
how
so
ironic.
All right. So we go into final bluffs. Johnson has a 10-point lead, 15-5 over Scoot. And we leave you with this question, guys. But first, we need to know, what are your buzzers going to be this week? As you always have to pick your own buzzers for this. Scoot? That's like half rooster, half horn is what that sounded like. All right. So Scoot's got a buzzer. Johnson, what do you got for us this week?
Stills.
Okay. All right. Going to the Stills Brothers.
Stills Brothers are going to have a huge opening game here upcoming.
I like it. So here we go. Final bluff question, guys. Buzz in to win. In the 1973 season opener, All-American Danny Buggs ran back a 69-yard punt against this team to win the game with 6 seconds left.
Old Bugsy.
Was it Maryland, Pitt, Richmond, or Penn State?
Stills.
I'm going to go with Johnson. Got in there first.
My dad was there in College Park to watch him return it against the Maryland Terrapins.
That's correct for 25 points and the win. It is correct. 40-5, Johnson wins, and Danny Buggs ran back a 69-yard punt with 6 seconds left to go in the game. Probably still, Johnson, considered one of the greatest moments in WVU
Well, the crazy
history.
Thing is my dad reminded, because that came up in like a Twitter memory here that WVU Sports put out, I think, recently. That's why we were talking about it. And he actually reminded me that what I don't think they mentioned in that recap was that Maryland almost freak scored after that.
Oh, really?
To take the lead back. Yeah, WVU, I think, had to make like a tackle around the 20-something yard line to make sure that Maryland didn't return the favor. So must have been quite a game.
Danny Buggs, who went on, he was an All-American for Bobby Bowden at WVU, and then he went on to play for the Washington Redskins. And
I think that's right.
And then he played in the CFL for a while. So now I think he's a motivational speaker and preacher down in Alabama. So So I hope you're listening, Danny. Congrats for being on the show as a trivia question.
Awesome, awesome, awesome highlight.
Awesome highlight. Scoot, sorry you lost again.
Not again. Man, these questions are tough.
You know.
How'd I sound?
Next week,
good? More intonation?
Yeah, next week we're going to do questions just about Full House. How's that?
I'm good there.
You're good.
I'm good.
And Saved by the Bell.
Cut it out. Oh, Saved by the Bell? Come on. Johnson would get worked.
I probably would. Scoot has a encyclopedic knowledge of Kelly Kapowski and the gang.
Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't?
Right, exactly. Well, listen, guys, let's take a break. We're going to come back with our favorite segment that we like to call I Can't Believe My Ears. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Got Your Ears On.
Tactical Legion Knives, a West Virginia owned and operated company that specializes in heavy duty tactical knives and gear for the professional warrior, the weekend warrior, and the outdoor warrior. Our products are built tough. For who? For warriors. Hey Mountaineer fans, make sure you go on Amazon and search Tactical Legion Knives, and when you do, make sure you put in the promo code 25TOBRADIO for Tob Radio. You'll get 25% off on Tactical Legion Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On, Guido, along with Scoot and Johnson. Hey, don't forget, check out our website, gotyourearson.com. It's sort of like the hub, everything about us, Johnson. You can find out everything we talk about each week, right?
Yeah, everything. Every week we put up the blog post for the latest show, and we include the show notes and the links to everything we talked about, usually including some stuff we couldn't even get to. So check it out.
Yeah, definitely check it out, gotyourearson.com. Well, usually this segment is led by Scooty, but we have a special surprise for you this week. Johnson has something. So, Johnson, tell me why I can't believe my ears.
Well, I'm going to direct this first part at Scoot. So, Scoot, think of when, have you ever been eating an RKT, which for those the business, that's a
Rice Krispie treat. Yes.
Have you ever been eating your RKT and you've ever thought to yourself, you're looking at it, and you've ever thought, I wonder what this would look like if I just squished it really hard?
Can't say that I've ever really thought of that, but I imagine it would be...
Have you thought about that with any food?
Yeah, it'd be a mess. I think it'd be a squishy mess.
Well, if you'd like to explore that further, I submit to you the Twitter account that I came across this week. Maybe some of our listeners have already seen this, but this was a first for me. Scoot, gripping food with force.
That's the name of the Twitter account?
That is the name of the Twitter account. You can go to it at Gripping Food.
What?
And you might, like me, think at first. So when I first went here, I was like, oh, this is totally stupid. And then what you realize is then you fall into this rabbit hole. And like 10 minutes later, I had scrolled through 20-something pictures of people gripping food with force.
This is a thing.
So the first one that got my attention is someone squishing a Starbucks coffee in their hand, which, number one, I would think is super hot, right? I guess they let this cool down first. I don't know. Maybe not. Secondly, anytime I've gotten something at Starbucks, it's way too expensive to just squish it up in my hand. Like, that feels like a big waste of money. But
I think I'm looking at the wrong Twitter account right now.
I looked at that wrong Twitter account as well.
I don't think that's it.
I looked at that same one.
I was like, what in the world are you looking at, son? This is not for...
I looked at that same one. I know exactly what you're...
I feel very...
Anyways. Did you go to at Gripping Food?
Yes, but somebody took one of the O's and changed it to a zero, and it's definitely has nothing...
And it is way different.
Oh, well, we need to make that known up front. Like,
you're going to be sending people to bad stuff. What are you doing?
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't go
abort,
there.
Abort, abort, abort.
I didn't go to that, whatever you're talking about.
It's, yes, gripping food, all letters, no numbers.
Well, why would you put a number in there? Don't
we
do
did
that.
It? It's the first one that pops up.
Yeah, it is. It was the first one that popped up.
Well, then, I didn't investigate it. I just went to this thing.
So the first one. So I pull up the at Gripping Food, and the first thing I see is he's like, this person is at a restaurant, and
looks
he's
like
got a steak. He's at a steakhouse and he's ripping a steak. Is this a thing? Is this a thing I never knew about?
That's the thing. I could not believe my ears, Guido, because I didn't know this was a thing. But apparently this is a thing.
Is this the same guy that grips every food?
I think it might be. He's got a tattoo.
No,
he's got like
a gripping... on that one hand, it's a tattooed person.
I don't know. I think it's other people also like submit what they've gripped with force. Hopefully food and not this other account. I'm now,
oh my God,
terrified we're going to send people to. Please don't go to the whatever that is.
What possesses somebody to do this?
Why would you want to do that?
Why would you want to... Did you see the one with the maple syrup?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that one made me not want to look anymore because why is he in a bathtub?
Why is somebody doing this to a block of cheese? What's wrong with these people?
Oh, really? Where's that one at?
What's wrong? This is perfectly good food they're ruining.
It looks like they're doing it to some Ho-Hos on this one.
Some Totino's pizza rolls.
Clone Dog would like this one. They're doing it to some... Skyline chili.
I see that. I have a lot of questions. So I have a lot of questions to start with, Johnson.
Okay.
One is, I think, probably the most important question that everybody's concerned about. How did you find this? What were you doing that you found this?
Somebody in my timeline liked it, and I was like, what am I looking at? And I clicked on it, and that's how I discovered it, which explains a lot of my Twitter usage, to be honest. You could ask me that on a lot of things, and I'd say, well, someone else liked it.
I'm surprised that the pictures of how many people are doing it, like, in their vehicles and making a mess.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Why would you do that?
Like, are their hands clean? Are they going to eat this later?
Are they going to eat it? That's my question. You've just gone to Wendy's and bought a Frosty, and now you're squeezing it. Are you going to eat it now?
I feel like I just put it to you as I saw it, so I have no other explanation for what's going on here other than I could not believe my ears. So I'm just submitting it as something weird that we saw on Twitter.
Scooty, is this something that you would ever think to do?
Never, never, no. Like, and I'll be honest with you, fellas. This won't surprise you, my OCD nature. I am a very clean and tidy guy by this is not something I do. Like, it's crazy. Sometimes I'll eat French fries with a fork. Like, I'm that guy.
Wait a minute. Let's unwrap this a little bit. You're a friend. Like, is this like if you go to McDonald's and you're like, you get a fork?
No, not McDonald's, but like if I'm at a restaurant or something and I don't really.
You're talking about like fancy fries, like the big fancy steak fries type of thing.
Yeah, like okay. I don't want to get my mitts all greased up or whatever. Not that I'm going to be like shaking hands with somebody or doing so. I don't know why. But sometimes if I'm mid grilled swordfish,
sure.
And the French fries are a side.
Right.
Like they would be during my quarantine meal.
Okay.
I would maybe use my fork.
All right.
For me, it's maybe faster than putting the fork
down
and getting
a fry. I feel like you might be are you a fork with your pizza kind of guy? I feel like
no,
you might do this.
No. That you can't eat pizza with a fork. But I am a clean guy.
This website here, they're squishing the food. Do you fold the pizza when you eat the pizza? Are you, you New York style folded over?
Only if it's like a New York style. Only if it's a...
Yeah, I mean, maybe you fold with force.
No. It's a three-finger fold where I've got my ring finger and my thumb are under the pizza. Okay. My index finger is on top to give the fold.
I feel like you're showing me how to throw a split finger, but...
I give it the old three-finger kaya.
I want that to be your Bluff the Fluffs buzzer next week. Your kaya.
Three finger kaya.
I'm with you, Johnson. I'm not sure what's wrong with these people.
Well, I bring it up to you guys because I didn't really know what I was looking at, and I've now scrolled through and I still don't really know what I'm looking at. But
one of those pictures is a guy who is squeezing a buffet pan full of rice.
right.
Like, one, that's a gigantic mitt. To be able to get your hand around a buffet pan.
But you admit, though, it draws you in, right? It's like, it's kind of like, what am I looking
very
at?
Odd.
What am I looking at? It's definitely like, what am I looking at? Why are people doing
like, I don't understand why.
What possesses? Yeah, right. What goes through your head? Like, what makes you look at, like, a tray of rice and go, I should squeeze that.
I don't know, but he has 310,000 followers.
Oh, that's depressing. Well, that's just like, can I also say, let me take a real quick dive here. It is depressing that that would have that many followers. Also with a lot of followers is the Morgantown Snake, who was loose last year.
Right, I remember this.
3,400 followers.
Right.
A freaking fictitious snake Twitter.
Has more followers than us.
Well, Guido, I could not believe my ears when my eyeballs saw this, so I just had to share. I still, like I said, I've looked at it. I still don't really know what's going on here.
I appreciate the share. Guys, I'm excited that football season starts. Next week's show is going to be great. We're going to be able to deep dive. We're going to have a game that we're going to be able to break down.
Yes.
We'll see some players actually play. We'll have things to talk about in relation to actual sports event with WVU. So that's exciting. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm excited.
So make sure you tune in. Tell all your friends to listen, like, and subscribe. We appreciate everybody listening. We appreciate all the thank yous and all the well wishes that we got for the 1 year anniversary last week. Thanks to everybody who gave us a shout out on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We really appreciate it, guys. And don't forget, check us out online. You can find us on all those things at Got Your Ears. You can check us out on our website, gotyourearson.com. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Got Your Ears On.